Great stories. And we're going to do it again for another hour here on Ghost to Ghost when we come right back. And we are back for our final segment here of Ghost to Ghost, final hour indeed. Let's go to the phones. We'll pick it up by going to Fraser Park, California. Orland is with us, west of the Rockies. Hello there, Orland. Thank you.
Hey, George. How you doing there?
Okay, sir. How about you?
Oh, I'm hanging in there.
Great.
I've been listening ever since Art Bell called Dreamland.
That's a long time ago. Wow. Thanks for sticking with us so long.
Yeah. Well, I'm the old guy that couldn't pull his ripcord on a skydive.
Oh, my God, yes. And you lived to talk about it.
Yes. Anyway, this is a situation that happened to me 75 years ago.
And you still remember this thing?
It scared me beyond
beyond belief.
There was a unauthorized trash dump near my house, and I would go down there, and I didn't know anything about it, and I found a Ouija board.
Oh, you're kidding me.
No, there was a Ouija board there, and the planchette was adjacent to it. It wasn't on it. And I put the planchette on the board.
How old were you?
I was 5 years old.
5 years old, okay.
I had no clues of what it was. I couldn't read.
And it was in a trash dumpster?
Yes.
Okay.
And I put the planchette on there, and it moved by itself diagonally from the lower right hand to the upper left where the alphabet started.
Hey, did you know how to spell then?
No.
Okay.
No, I hadn't been to school.
All right. You're a little one. Little kindergartner, maybe.
I schooled
late
September 41.
Okay,
but anyway, and I thought that was awful strange, and I moved the planchette back to where it was, and it moved part way again. And then about that time, I heard a voice, either audibly or telepathy. And I looked up, and there was an old hag about 50 feet away from me.
Oh, not great for a little five-year-old to see.
Oh, I mean, you know, I was more or less terrified.
Scared the heck out of you.
And she said, "Don't play with me."
Whoa. Like she was a talking Ouija board.
Yeah, and it was, the image was a translucent blue. You know that commercial there on the insurance company?
The Geico company.
Huh?
Geico?
It's Progressive.
Progressive, all right.
And the girl is...
She's all in white, right?
No, she's translucent blue. And you can see through her. But anyway, I went and told my mother about this situation, and... she very strictly told me not to mess with it.
At 5 years old, that was a great lesson from Mom.
Not to go. So anybody that wants to casually play with a Ouija board, take a lesson from an old man.
And did you take heed with her advice? Did you never, ever play with a Ouija board again?
I avoided them. When I was grown in marriage, I was invited to a party with the Ouija board, and I was there, but I didn't participate.
How old are you now, Orland?
I'm 80.
Good for you. Boy, by the way, that story of you falling, what did you land into?
Say again?
What did you land into when your chute didn't open up?
Oh, I managed to pull my emergency chute.
And it opened up for you?
Oh, yeah. You know, but I was supposed
to. But you're coming down fast, though, with that.
Yeah, I was supposed to jump out of the airplane and count to three and then pull my ripcord, and I reached, and it wouldn't come out.
God. And you landed safely, obviously.
Yes. Didn't stop me from jumping, but I tell you, that day I had to change my shorts.
I bet you did. Okay, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. 80 years old. That's great. Jennifer's in Salt Lake City, Utah. Welcome to the show. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi there, George. It's an honor.
Well, thank you. I hear you have a great story for us.
I do. You know, I was raised in San Jose,
okay.
California.
Just came back from
there. Winchester Mystery House.
Had a great time there.
Yes. So it was always my dream job to be a tour guide for the Winchester Mystery House.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to do that. It was my first job when I was 16.
You went for it. You got it.
I did. Thank you, all my theater background. So part of the training was they set you loose in the house to go and practice the different speeches and the different
on your own.
Oh, I'm sorry. What was that?
On your own, they turned you loose.
Yes.
Okay.
Always in the day.
I never had any.
I never had any real bad feelings there. There were certain parts of the house that the other tour guys would say, you know, don't go venture in those places and things. They weren't part of the tour. And they were very out of the way places that they kept locked up, I think for reasons. And so I would go around and find my way through the staircases and everything, because you had to be able to go from any place in the house to any other place within 90 seconds. In order for evacuations, earthquakes, stuff like that.
Sure. Yeah.
So one day I was in the 13th bathroom, because there's 13 bathrooms, and I was in the 13th bathroom practicing my speech for that room.
Mm-hmm.
And they have these, kind of hard to explain, but they're like window sills. They're like internal window sills, but there's no windows in them. And so I was sitting on one of these internal window sills, and I had my eyes closed, and I'm just thinking through it, just not verbalizing anything, but just concentrating on it. And I hear, in a very cheery British accent, "Excuse me, dearie." And I instantly stood up, like, "Oh, absolutely, I'm so sorry." And I turn around, and no one was there.
Nobody's there.
Yep, open my eyes, not a soul there, no one within a few rooms of me. And so, yeah, that was just a fun little thing. That I'm like, my goodness.
Did this voice ever pop up again?
Did I say that again?
Did the voice ever pop up again?
It never did. No, but one of the things that you would read about is that she paid her staff very well, and they were very loyal to her. So I always assumed that was one of the maids just continuing to spruce up a bit.
I love that. Thanks, Jennifer. Next up, let's go to Van Buren, Arkansas. Chris's turn. East of the Rockies. Christopher, you're up.
Hey, happy Halloween, George.
You too, Chris.
And you're really letting Tom have it earlier, poor guy.
Oh, I know. It was getting tough to...
Anyway, I got this crazy story for you. It started off a long time ago when I was living in Missouri with my parents back in elementary school, and it was in this Civil War town. There was a huge battle there, but we used to go yard selling all the time, and we went to this yard sale, and I seen this Parker Brothers in the box Ouija board. And I asked my mom if I could have it. I was 8 years old, and she didn't really know much about them. You know, she thought they were just a party novelty. So she went ahead and bought it for $2 and took it home. And for the most part, you know, I used to use it by myself in my room. And every now and then she would come in and she would use it as well with me, you know, just as a game for me and her to play. But during the times when I'd use it by myself, I would get this spirit that would come and talk to me. And it was the same spirit over and over again over the course of a year. And it claimed it was a 8-year-old boy that had died back in the 1860s in the Civil War, and his name was Seth. And so he was like my invisible friend. I would talk to him on there, and I sometimes I wouldn't even have to have the board to talk to him. I'd just sit and talk with him. Well, we fast forward about another 10 years or so, and I get into the military, and I'm stationed up in North Dakota, and this is 1,000 miles away. And you know, the military guys on the, you know, on our 3-day furloughs or weekends and stuff, we do some pretty crazy stuff. But we had a party, and there was a bunch of people whipped out a Ouija board. And there was 4 of them sitting around it. They asked me if I wanted to be part of it. And I was like, I kind of gotten away from it. So I was like, I don't really want to play around. So I just sat there and watched them. Well, the planchette was moving around, and they were, you know, having a good time, and they're talking. And they asked if a spirit was there, and it went to yes. And then they asked, well, is there somebody you want to talk to? And it said yes, and it spelled out C-R. S. And I was like, oh my word. And so they said, is anybody named Chris here? And I was like, that'd be me. And I asked the board, I said, well, what do you want? And I said, who is this? And it spells out Seth. And I just left the room. I was like, I can't deal with it. So I left the room. Well, we fast forward about another 3 years after I'd gotten out of the military, and I had gotten married, and my wife, my first wife, her dad was murdered. So she told me the stories about it. And so we decided, I said, you know what, this is something my parents used to do a long time ago. I made a homemade Ouija board with some letters and numbers that I cut out of some paper, and we arranged them.
Not good.
Yeah, and then we arranged the numbers and letters on the table. We used a mason jar, a little jelly jar, as the planchette, and we put our hands on it and started moving around. We got to talking to her father, and her father got on there, and suddenly all of a sudden it got erratic, started moving real weird, and we asked the father what was going on. He said, there's another spirit here, wants to talk. And so we let it get on there, and we start talking, we asked who it wanted to talk to. It spelled out my name. And I asked, well, is this Seth? And it says, yes. This spirit has followed me around for over 20 years, from Missouri to North Dakota, all the way back down here to Arkansas.
And it seems pretty benevolent to you, right?
It seems that way. Whenever I got out of the military, I was living with some friends in an apartment with my first wife. And my friend, he used to collect knives and swords and stuff, and he had them in his room, all over the room. Well, every day after work, he'd come home, and finally, after a week or so, he finally got fed up. He comes to me and says, why are you messing with my knives? And I don't go in your room. And he says, well, one of my knives keeps getting knocked off on the floor and shoved under the bed. And I was like, well, it isn't me. Well, we did the whole Ouija board thing again with the cutout letters and stuff on the kitchen table. And Seth shows up. And my friend asked him, because he was real skeptical, and he's laughing at me. He asked me, he said, have you been in my room playing around? And Seth said, yes. And he said, why? And he said, well, my ball rolled into your room. And he said, why are you moving my knives? And he said, well, I was killed by a knife.
Oh.
In the 1860s, he was stabbed by a soldier's bayonet.
Oh, my gosh.
And so he had this affinity for knives.
And nothing bad ever happened with the knives. He didn't throw them at anybody or anything
right? Fortunately, no. He just tried to hide them because he was afraid of them. But
well, that makes
that
sense.
Story. It was just kind of strange.
And to this day, any more Seth visitations?
I've had a weird ghost incident that happened about 4 years ago. I don't know if it was Seth or not, but I do know it was an apparition of some sort that grabbed my arm and pulled it behind me like it was trying to yank me around. But I don't know if it was him or not. Last time I've heard anything about Seth was probably about 16 years ago.
He seems to have attached himself to you.
Exactly. He said, when I asked him when I was really young, I asked him on the Ouija board why he chose me, why doesn't he cross over? You know, why don't you just go to heaven? And he said that he was lonely, and he just wanted a friend to talk to. And that's, so he attached himself to me, and he's been with me for over 20-something years.
That makes sense. Great story. Hey, thank you for that. Next up, let's go to Rita in Los Angeles. Rita, good morning.
Yes, hi. Good morning, George.
Hi.
Yeah, so my story is I was doing some volunteer work in downtown L.A. at a homeless shelter, and I ran into a fellow volunteer, and this was also close to the time of Halloween a couple of years ago. So in between helping people, I was compelled to ask him, I said, are you familiar with the Alexandria Hotel up the street? And, you know, lo and behold, he said, yeah, I live there. And I was surprised, what a coincidence. And I told him, I said, you know, I have a few really good ghost stories because my girlfriend lived in there. Actually, I think she was still living there, too. And so I proceeded to tell him my story, which I want to say first, which came from my friend. And she said that the hotel, by the way, is over 100 years old. It's a famous hotel. They had Academy Award parties there. Big history to this hotel. But the thing is, about 50, 60 years ago, they had a horrible fire where, like, everybody on one side of the building, they were all killed in this terrible fire. And even stranger than that, the way they addressed that problem is they literally just sealed off those hallways that led to those rooms. And to my knowledge, they're still burnt out to this day. And anyhow, she told me when she's living there that the hotel had been transformed into like a low-income building where only adults live there, mm-hmm. and low rent. And she said that they would frequently see a little girl about 12 years old taking the elevator in a nightgown.
Wow.
Which, you know, she was a ghost. So, you know, that's the story I relayed to him, but he came back to me with a much better ghost story of his own, being that he was currently living there. And that was that his buddy, who lived right next door to him, his room on the same floor, he was kind of upset at him one night because he was blasting his radio. In fact, he was doing this several nights in a row, and it was really keeping
him up. That gets to be annoying, doesn't it?
It does. And, you know, people work, and they got to get up early. So, you know, when he ran into his friend the next time, he said, dude, you know, what are you doing to me? Blasting your radio up all night, and it's driving me nuts. Can you please lower your radio? And he said, what are you talking about? He said, I've been out of the country. I've been out of town. He said, go talk to your neighbor next door. So apparently the neighbor next door is an elderly lady. Now, what are the odds that an elderly lady is going to be playing rock music?
Yeah, she'll play Sinatra, but not rock music.
Right. So he goes to her, and, you know, he's a little embarrassed. And he goes, excuse me, ma'am, but, you know, I have been hearing your radio, and it's been bothering me. And, you know, as quick as can be, she responds, no, you don't understand. The ghosts turn on my radio all the time. I have no control of that.
Oh, wow. It's happening right there in her place. That's something else. I have heard so many great ghost stories tonight. We're going to continue this for another segment here. Just amazing stories. I mean, you've got to conclude when you hear all this that... You've just got to conclude that it's the real thing, real thing indeed. Tom, do you have one more last text or tweet for us? Anything?
Talk.
What do you got for us?
Talk.
Go ahead, you're on.
All right. I got it. This is a tweet from Shinebright. She says, George, three Georges. Do you think you'll be able to sleep after hearing all these ghost-to-ghost stories?
Of course. Of course, nothing bothers me.
Never lose sleep?
Nothing, no. I don't sleep a lot, though. I only get about 5 hours a day. That's it. But I get a little shut-eye.
That's funny, because at the end of the tweet, she wrote, ... or do you sleep?
Not much. Not much at all. Okay, thanks, Tommy. We'll have a couple more texts. Well, maybe one more when we come back. And the rest of the calls as well. Continue trying to call. Continue trying to get on. And our final segment of Halloween 2016, Ghost to Ghost. We'll be back. Okay, welcome back to our final Ghost to Ghost segment here. And we're going to still take one last text or tweet, but let us go to the phones. Oh, let me read this email from Francie from Alaska. George, one winter day while driving home, I live in the mountains. There must have been about 6 inches of snow on the ground. I had a red convertible go down the road, top down, 4 people in there, laughing and talking as they buzzed by me. I thought, I'm going to see them in the ditch. I turned the corner. They were gone. No tire tracks, no red convertible, nothing. Where'd they go? Strange things. I you know what? I think what we can conclude after tonight is that this is very, very real. I'm sure some people may be calling with a little nice story they think they've seen. But by and large, I think something's going on. There's something going on with the hereafter. Let's go to the phones. We'll pick it up by going to Mitchell, South Dakota. Dave's with us. Happens to be a first-time caller. Hi, Dave.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Thanks for holding, and you're up.
Hey, happy Halloween, first of all.
Yeah, you too.
A couple of different oddities. First of all, when the first 6 years that my ex-wife and I were married, there were 7 deaths in her family.
Oh, geez. Unusually high.
Yeah. Well, both sets of grandparents and mother and father. And then the death that followed that is... really the story. Her brother had inherited the family business and it wasn't doing very well, and he took his own life with a shotgun. And the older brother went into a deep depression, and they tried talking with the 2 employees that had found her brother in the warehouse, mm-hmm. and they wouldn't say a word. In fact, that when the day that it happened, that was their last day. They never came back. The older brother went into a deep depression and was medicated and talking with a specialist. And one night when he was in bed, he woke up in the middle of the night and he felt a presence. And he looked down and his brother was sitting at the foot of the bed.
Huh.
And told him that everything was going to be okay. And he kind of wiped his eyes and looked again, and he was gone.
And everything was okay, I bet.
And everything was okay.
Yeah. Those are just amazing stories. And they keep coming. We have Marianne in Iowa. Welcome to the show. Hi, Marianne. How are you?
Hi, George. Great. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I love your program.
Thank
you. I listen to it every night.
Perfect.
Two quick ones here. I'll make it a talk fast because there are two. But when I was younger, maybe about 10 years old, we had a sleepover with all the girls. And that day I had read something in the newspaper about a Mr. Peabody. He was a billionaire, and he had died, and I think it was a history about him, and he was buried in a glass coffin and in oil, because it was his profession, in oil in the ground.
Huh.
Well, that night we had the girls sleep over, and we thought we'd do a seance, and I remembered Mr. Peabody, and we decided to call him up, and sure enough, he came and visited. As soon as we called for him, he opened the front door, he let himself in. He blew out the candle and turned it back on. He had wind blowing through the windows.
Huh.
There was a ball that was sitting there for hours. It decided to roll off by itself. Things moved in the kitchen. I mean, you visited. So the next, later on in life, I had become a Christian woman. And I was warned, and they told me, now that you're a Christian, Satan's going to come after you. And sure enough, he did. There's many things, but the one thing I remember the most is that one day I walked into my house, and I was all alone, just took my children to school, and I heard, it was like I walked into a different world. My house, every board in my wall sounded like it was cracking, like my house was caving in, and it was super loud. So I knew what to do, though. They also told me what to do in instructions of becoming a Christian and, you know, fighting Satan. I just laid my hand on the wall, and I said, I plead the blood of Jesus. And immediately it stopped. And, boy, I haven't had a problem since.
Just like that.
Just like that. Yeah, just like with the aliens. They say they do the same thing with the aliens.
That's the way to do it. Final text or tweet. Tommy, what do you have?
This is a final text from David in Dallas.
Right.
George, I just heard you say nothing bothers you and you can sleep. Can you even get sleep thinking about the black-eyed children?
Oh, no. You know, that came up.
Mm-hmm.
That came up at the Alien Con where... we talked about black-eyed children.
Somebody asked
in the crowd.
You.
That was something.
I want you to keep in mind this text is from David in Dallas.
David in Dallas.
Uh-huh. He's asking about the black-eyed children, David in Dallas.
Oh, David Weatherly?
This is David Weatherly.
Is it?
Yeah. He texted me.
Yeah. Cool. I like that. David Weatherly, who's written the book.
So you got to answer
black-eyed
him.
Children. Somebody just sent me an email about that. Gasoline guy who tried to hitch a ride with me.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He said that he might have been a black-eyed person trying to get into your
car.
What
a story.
It was really weird, Tom. I mean, first of all, when you're pumping gasoline, you're thinking about the day. You know, somebody pops up next to you out of nowhere and then starts saying, can I have a ride? Can I have a ride? You're going here. You're going there. And, you know, you want to get rid of the guy. And, then you turn your head and he's gone.
Was it like a homeless person?
You know, he was kind of jointed a little bit, but disheveled. But I couldn't say he was homeless. He was obviously riderless. It was just strange. Would you give a ride to a total stranger like that?
No,
who comes up to you at a gas station?
No. who comes up to me, period.
No.
I had it took me a while.
Ever pick up a hitchhiker? I picked some up.
I don't think I have.
When I was a kid.
I don't think
it's not smart.
No, it's not. Have you ever hitchhiked yourself?
I may have hitchhiked once in my life when I was about 18 or 19. I think my car broke down, and I just needed to go up the street a little bit.
Did you get picked up?
Yeah, I think a truck driver did. Those truckers are good people.
Yes, they are.
Okay, let's go next to St. Thomas, Canada. International line. James is with us. Hi, James.
Yes, how are you doing?
Good.
Happy Halloween.
You too.
Yeah, thank you. So my story is I was about 13 years old, and I was living in my parents' house, and I shared a bedroom with my brother, and we would have to go downstairs to use the bathroom. So I went downstairs to use the bathroom, and when I came back up, I laid on my bed, and I closed my eyes for about 2 or 3 seconds. Then I opened up, and there was this figure, clear as day, standing right beside me. It was half a dude, and he was looking right straight forward. He didn't look at me, and thank God he wasn't. And he just proceeded to slowly go across the room, and then he just puffed off into the wall, and I never saw him again.
Jeez.
And I was so scared. I, like, seen the movies, like, you know, you're so scared that you can't speak. That was exactly what I was like. I couldn't speak.
You're totally stuck. Great story. Shira in Sacramento is back with us. Hello there. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Happy Halloween, George.
You too. Hope you had a good one.
Thank you. Today is the anniversary. In 1999, I moved to a house in a part of Sacramento where many years ago when this area was developed, they had removed, with permission from a local Indian tribe, removed burial remains to another lot. Moved to this house on Halloween night, 1999. I had so many paranormal experiences the entire year that I lived there. One night, I was late at night. I was sitting in my chair, and I had the window open, getting some fresh air. I heard footsteps approaching. Then I heard knocking on the window. I was filled with terror. I crawled literally on my belly over to another window, looked outside, nothing there. Then I started having sleep paralysis. I'd had it a little bit when I was younger, but I had it almost every night.
Oh, horrible.
I would see this entity that looked kind of like an Anne Rice type of vampire with long hair, pale skin. And I'd see that almost every night in my room. Couldn't move. I would hear banging on my window in the middle of the night. One night I woke up and I could hear the sound of dogs, hounds next to me snarling and growling. It was horrific. I had friends that came into this house. I had one friend. He wasn't in the door 2 seconds before he said, "This place is haunted."
You can feel it. Yeah.
Yes, and I had never told him the story, and another friend of mine was groped in the shower there. This place, we moved out a year later, and I was so grateful.
And never went back. Mitchell, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Hey, Mitchell. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi.
1969, I was put in Devil Swamp on purpose. I wanted to be there. I faced my fears.
Where is Devil's Swamp?
Louisiana.
Ah.
Southern Louisiana. I'm a Southern Louisiana Cajun hillbilly.
Ah, already?
I'm stuck in Arkansas because of my German wife. Her family's up here. If I could be, I'd be back in the middle of Devil's Swamp. But anyways, I learned to live with the Black Panthers, the wolves, the coyotes, and I got a handle on fear, and they do not fear. I don't fear them. They fear me. When I came out of Devil's Swamp, I'm known as the Apache Wolf.
Well, stay tough. Not quite a ghost story, but what the heck. Kat in Pocatello, Idaho. Hey, Kat, your turn. Go ahead.
Oh, I've got a really cute story.
Alrighty.
My cousin, she lives in the same town as me, and she had to move her father into her house with her. Well, they don't drink alcohol. And so she says, "Well, here's the deal, Dad." She says, You're not allowed to drink in the house, but you can go out on the porch and you can sit on the front porch. She had one of those older houses with those nice little porches.
Oh, yeah. I love those.
You sit out there on the porch and and she says, we'll put a rocking chair out there for you. And you sit there and drink your beer out there on the porch. Well, he was there for a couple of months. Then he died. So they went to the funeral and they came back and she comes across the porch. The rocking chair was rocking a little bit. She says, oh, that's strange. So the next day they got up and she went out on the front porch. There's that old rocking chair just rocking away, back and forth, back and forth. And she says, oh, my gosh. She went in and talked to her husband. She says, I better do something about this, hadn't I? So she went out and she put her hands on her hips and she says, Dad. She says, now listen. She says, you're dead. And she got a message back that said, you know, kind of in her head, no, I'm not dead. I'm just on a kind of a bad drunk. She says, Dad, she says, you're dead. Now go to the light.
Did he go?
She said that old chair quit rocking, just hasn't rocked since.
Yeah, I love it. He did move on. Good for him. Benjamin's with us, North Carolina. Hey, Benjamin.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
Okay, how are you?
Pretty good, man.
What do you got for us?
Well, when I was about 14 or 15, I lived in Singapore down in Southeast Asia. And some friends and I were going through a cemetery. And one night, it was probably around 10:30, 11 o'clock. And we had just walked in the gates and about 10 people walked in behind us out of nowhere. And they just sort of, you know, were saying weird stuff like, you know, we need to go home. We need to go home. That's what they kept saying.
To you folks, then, right?
Yeah, all 10 of them. And all of a sudden, we were about halfway in, and they stopped. And we turned around and looked at them, me and my friend did, and they looked towards dead in the eye, just sort of a dead look, and they said, it's time for us to go home.
Jeez.
And they turned around, and they walked back to the gate. Well, that freaked us out, so we started following them. But they rounded the corner outside the gate, and when we exited the gate, they were actually not there.
Jeez, what were they, like zombies for a while?
They weren't zombies. They were just, they just seemed lost, you know? Like they didn't belong where they were. It was weird.
Thank God they didn't do anything with you folks.
Man, no kidding.
You didn't need that. Hey, appreciate it. Next up, Ann in Syracuse, New York, first-time caller. Ann, we've got about a minute and a half for you. Go ahead.
My sister and I both went to the same school in Hawaii, and we got together as a group of girls on Halloween night, about six of us. We had all our snacks. We really didn't have anywhere to go because it was in the country. And we had a rip-roaring thunderstorm. All the power went out at school. We were all sitting around telling ghost stories, a couple of local girls scaring the keepers out of us. And we fell asleep about 10 o'clock. And at that school, 10 o'clock, you're locked down. You go nowhere. No one else is allowed anywhere.
Once you're in, you don't get out.
She woke up at midnight because she heard voices, lots of voices outside in the courtyard where no one's allowed past that time. And she saw about 20 people dressed in ancient Hawaiian garb. And she was so petrified seeing this because she knew that it was ghosts. I woke her up the next morning leaning, sitting up in her bed against the wall. And I said to her, what's going on? How come you're sitting up sleeping like that? And she was hysterical. She said, oh my gosh, you wouldn't believe what I did. She was so petrified. She literally fell asleep and slumped over in her bed.
I love it.
The crazy thing was, many people at that school had told similar stories, and they actually had to bring people from church in to bless these people to get them out of that
study. Wow.
They were in. Yeah, it was crazy.
They hang around for a long time. Hey, Ann, we're out of time, but would you thank everybody for listening to Ghost tonight? Go ahead. Say goodbye to everyone.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to Ghost, and happy Halloween.
You got it. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Greg Bishop, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burleson, George Knapp. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.